Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm aloof, introverted, and unsociable today, and I just want to push you away.
You know, when I was watching the episode, I was like, this is going to be what Sarah says.
Really?
When he did the intro. Yeah, 100%. Because yeah. I was like, when he says that, I mean, it's not super relatable to me in general, but I feel like a lot of people can relate to Jack in that moment.
I guess. I don't know why you would want to be a Jack in that moment. He's like really in a mood today.
Yeah, he is in quite the mood this episode.
Yeah.
Very excited to cover it all. How has your week been? It's a Thursday for us now.
It's a shortened week. I mean, we had Memorial Day on Monday, which I did not celebrate. Or, I mean, honestly, you don't really celebrate Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. You got to respect, you know, the people that risk their lives. But in the tradition of America, people typically do barbecues.
Right.
Did not do a barbecue. Typically, Memorial Day is like when people open up their pools, but we had some nasty weather.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I also am like going for a little rendezvous this weekend. So I'm off on Friday. So we got like a 3-day work week. of course, it was the busiest freaking 3 days. Like, mm-hmm. not for nothing. I mean, did you hear from me, like, barely at all this week?
Yeah, I think today you told me that you were, gosh, I don't remember what you said, but you missed.
Swapped.
Oh, instead of swamped, you were swapped. And I was like, you're too freaking busy to even use the M. So that's how I know you're having a busy day, is when I don't hear from you at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really feeling the 4 day work week this week. Like, I woke up this morning and I was in a pretty good mood. I was like, it's Thursday. We could power through. We can make it through to the weekend. It's going to be great. Yeah, it's been a fine week for me. I was really looking forward to talking about this episode, to be honest. Like, I woke up today and I was like, it's Dawson's Creek day, because this episode was so, 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 so much fun. Are you watching, before we get into everything, are you watching anything new? I know you said you were reading a book. Do you want to plug a book instead of talking about a show this week?
I am reading Firefly Lane, which is it was a Netflix show. Like, I originally saw it on Netflix. It's with Sarah Chalk and Katherine Heigl, and I really, really liked the show. I've talked about it at one point. It was one of my shows to watch in my list mm-hmm. that I have ongoing. So I really like the book. It's, you know, following the show, pretty much like loyally. It has a sequel. So I picked up the sequel as well.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm looking forward. And then I did start this week, Ginny and Georgia, and I have no fucking clue what's going on in that show. To
you told me about that show. Yeah. And I was like, I don't really understand the concept, but it sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, so you know, first glance, it's just about like a single mom of two kids, a teenager and like a, you know, like an 8-year-old. And mm-hmm. they're like, they move from place to place. And the mom is mysterious. She is up to something. So that is the general concept. But I have no clue what's happening in that show.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I still am. I think I'm in season two right now. It's a good show. If you like musicals and stuff, you'd probably like that show, because they do a lot of like musical numbers in it. It's pretty funny. But lately, all I've been doing is watching Critical Role. We've talked about Dungeons and Dragons a bit. It's basically, if you love Dungeons and Dragons, you know about Critical Role. It's like a stream. They have it on Twitch, and then they later put out their episodes on YouTube. They're wrapping up their second campaign, which was like 141 episodes, maybe. And I'm currently on like episode 59. But that's all I've been watching lately. It's so good. If you're into Dungeons and Dragons, obviously check it out. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been up to. Shall we get into season 2, episode 9, the election?
Let's go.
You know, anytime there's an election, there's bound to be drama, especially yes. when it's in the creek.
Yes.
So let me name off the pairs that we have, and we can figure out where we want to start. So we have Dawson and Jen, Joey and Andy and Pacey, Dawson and family is what I called it, Joey and Jack, Abby and Chris. I put the debate kind of as its own thing. And then we have Andy and Jack.
Dawson and fam, like normal.
Yeah, let's push them on over out of the way. Hallelujah. Thank Jesus. Divorce papers are in the works, people.
I mean, but really, honestly, this is not something to celebrate. It's just something to, you know, get back into complaining about. So, but like, we have like a little bit of like a spice fest. So
yes.
We have Mitch over, you know, the family's house and fixing the dishwasher. It like explodes on them and they get all wet and they laugh and Mitch chases off
steamy.
It's steamy. Mitch has to take off his shirt because he worked out. So, you know, got to get that ab shot somehow.
To be honest, I'm surprised that he wasn't he already didn't have his shirt off in the process of like fixing it.
Yeah.
But how appropriate was it that he was wearing like a white t-shirt? Because it's like, oh, bitch, it is time for like the wet t-shirt competition, Mitch. Come on down.
Yeah, Mitch really, really, really has this on his contract that he has to get naked like every few episodes.
Because season one, it's like, obviously, he has a very nice body, and it'd be very creepy if we were, like, into the kids on the show. So we need the eye candy. And it was, like, season one, we didn't get any. And now it's, like, arms day, legs day, chest day. Like, every day is Mitch day.
Every day is – I don't want to be in that day if every day is Mitch day. I please eject me from that situation.
Yeah, it's too much. But it was very funny. I did – if we're going to get a Mitch and Gale scene, this is perfectly fine by me. We got the steamy, like, put her up on the counter, then throw her down on the kitchen table. The only thing that admittedly, you watched this episode last, like, Friday, right? So we record on Thursdays. You watched this episode on Friday night. You messaged me, and you were, like, freaking out about it. Like, completely freaking out. And so, of course, I'm sitting here, like, I need to watch this episode right freaking now. Mm-hmm. So I turn it on, and I want to say that I messaged you during this portion of the episode.
You did.
Because Dawson... man, he lingered. He lingered to watch his parents, like, what is it called? Not pregame. What am I thinking? Like, before you have sex, like, what is it called right before
foreplay,
that?
Foreplay, sis.
Foreplay.
Obviously, you've never.
I just couldn't remember the word.
I feel very bad for you. You really go right into sex. No foreplay for you.
The word. But that's the thing. He's like watching that. Like, tell me you didn't notice the linger.
It was like 2 seconds too long. I saw the linger. You go, oh my, Zaddy Leary. Oh my, my, my. And then that's what you said. If I have to watch Gale and Mitch, this isn't a bad way to do it.
Oh, I did say that. Okay, good.
Yeah. And then you said, oh no, Dawson lingered. Yeah, that's what you were. And I was like, yeah. So,
oh God.
He definitely did linger. What are your thoughts about couples hooking up? No, ex-couples hooking up after a breakup.
I don't really think it's ever a good idea, to be honest. I think it completely blurs the lines. And I think that the worst thing that could have happened kind of did happen. Dawson sees them. He thinks they're getting back together or at least moving towards a reconciliation. And that's not at all what's happening. I don't know. What do you think? I feel like with sex, there's always going to be feelings. At least it doesn't always have to be like if it's a one night stand, there's not to be feelings.
Yeah.
But if you were in a relationship with somebody and then you have sex with them outside of that relationship, to me, the feelings are going to there's going to be feelings there.
You're correct about that. However, it's the hottest sex that you can possibly have because you're already familiar with them. So you don't have to like stumble over like, do you like this? Do you like that?
Yeah.
And it kind of feels so it's familiar. But it feels like, you know, like
forbidden
because you're not supposed to be together. So it's like, honestly, the best of both worlds. I think post breakup sex with your ex is like top tier sex.
It's better than makeup sex.
Yeah, no, it's definitely better than makeup sex.
I'd like the listeners to weigh in on this.
Because, like, with makeup sex, then you're like, oh, I expect this to go well. Like, I'm thinking like when you get back together.
I have not had breakup sex, I guess is what you would call
it. Post breakup sex.
No.
Top tier, 10 out of 10. No, 11 out of 10.
I just cut the ties.
No. You got to make, it linger.
I keep my face forward.
No.
Keep my face forward.
Give it a go.
Forward.
Maybe just break up with Will for a day and then have sex with him.
He listens to these podcasts. I can't wait until he hears
that. Well, I'm just saying.
Divorced for a day. For a day. I feel like this
and there's hold on. One more second. And it's like a little bit aggressive because you're still kind of pissed at them. Oh, man, if I can go back to post-breakup sex.
Oh, my God. See, this reminds me of like in Parks and Rec where you have Andy and April. And April's like, I'm going to divorce you just so I can marry you again. That's what it feels like. But yes, so obviously Dawson lingers like a creep. And he later goes to like see Mitch and he's just like, oh, what's new? And then he uses, again, so creepy. He's so creepy, Sarah. I didn't see the main attraction, just the previews.
Ew.
Dude, you're talking about your parents, you sicko.
I know.
Sick fuck. What's
I know.
Wrong
and then,
with you?
But like Mitch is like, I don't think I want to talk about this. But it's like, Mitch, like, weren't you the one that totally like was a creepo deepo in the first season about your like talking about your sex life and all yes. of a sudden that you don't want to talk about it? It's like you're the one that opened up this door to
he
like
the can
uncomfortable
worms.
Conversations with your son about
exactly
sex.
So yeah no
only
it's totally
only Mitch can talk about, you know, like pre-adults, like underage yeah. sex. That's what Mitch wants to talk about. Not
yeah, such a creep.
Not his. Okay, but whatever. So he's like, it was a slip, a sex slip. It was a mistake. And then like, this is what gets like Dawson a little agitated because he's like confused and upset. And he's like, what do you mean? And then Mitch is like, well, if we fell back into what's comfortable and easy. And like Dawson's like, well, didn't this like fix your problems? And he's like, no, this like made our problems worse. You know, I keep like going back to the bucket and expecting to get different results. Like nothing's changed. So this is like very yeah. confusing to Dawson. Like,
yes, Dawson doesn't understand.
It's so confusing to little Dawson. He
poor
does
Dawson.
Not get it. His little
he
head.
Struggled with this entire, he struggled
can't
this entire
understand.
Episode.
Understand. It's just yeah. too complicated.
I'm a teenager.
I'm a teenager.
It's I like conclude this. That your conclusion sucks.
It's too hard. So then later yes. on, Dawson comes home to Gail, who's aggressively cleaning.
She's upset. Because not for nothing, but, like, when I get, like, on the more, like, anxious side or upset side, my first inclination is just like, touch things up, like organize things. And I feel like this is her taking out that, like, anxious, upset energy on her window panes.
Yes. So she, like, baked brownies. She baked a cake. Like, she's been yeah. baking. She's been cleaning. Dawson finds the divorce papers. Apparently, Gail got served that morning. Yeah. So, logistically, was it, like, the day after they had sex?
I think it was the day after. I think it was the day. Here's the thing,
it's
too.
It's a little dirty.
Also, I feel like if we focus in on the words she uses, you can tell it's not mutual. Because she says the words, your father had me served this morning. Mm-hmm. She didn't say, oh, your father and I agreed to a divorce, or your father and I discussed it and we're going to divorce. Like, she doesn't say it like that. The way she says it puts all the blame on Mitch, in my opinion.
That is the being served is the weirdest thing in the galaxy. Like one yeah. day you're just minding your own business, baking your cake. Somebody knocks on the door and is like, are you Gail Leary? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, here's some divorce papers.
Yeah.
It's like so crazy. This is why you don't answer your door, people.
Don't never, answer strangers. No.
Never answer the door.
You could be getting served.
You could be getting served. Just don't.
These are life lessons with Jess and Sarah. Don't answer your fucking door. You could be getting served.
Yeah. Don't ever. This is why people in the 70s died all the time, because they opened their doors all the time to strangers at night.
Yeah. We should really start an advice podcast.
We've talked about it before, and it's still a bad idea.
It's still 100% a bad idea, but it's amazing.
So she says she's going to be all right. She's moving on. We'll see about that.
I don't necessarily believe her right now. I feel like she's still in, she's not in the like ice cream, eating ice cream alone, listening to sad music phase. Mm-hmm. She's now in the anxious cleaning phase. Mm. So she yeah. hasn't quite moved on to like acceptance.
Is the move to go back to Bob?
No. No, because like you were saying about the breakup makeup sex situation, yeah. the reason the sex with Bob was so good was because it was forbidden.
Mm.
So now that it's acceptable to be with him, it's going to be trash. It's not going to be good.
Right. All right. Fine.
I feel like
fair
this
enough.
Theory holds up. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that's it for the Leary family. I hope you have a great divorce, Mitch and Gail. Please stop focusing on them. I mean, at
we'll
least
see
their
more
part,
of it.
It was a small part this episode. I honestly didn't mind it because I really loved Dawson being such a creep.
Knock, knock.
Mm-hmm, what a creepo. should we stick with Dawson and move to Dawson and Jen? Because they yeah. had a fairly significant situation happening. Did you predict this? Did you predict we were going to have the Jen and Dawson friendship this season, like after all they've been through?
No, but I think it's kind of good for both of them, ultimately. Yeah. Like, Jen's not hanging out with Abby and not hanging out in this episode with Chris and, like, Creepy Todd. So.
Yeah, it was, like, gross Chris and Creepy Todd or something like that.
Something like that. So, like, at least, you know, she's off there. Hanging out with Dawson. Dawson needs a friend in the world. Especially, like, Pacey is very focused on Andy. Like, when Pacey's one of those people, when you're in a relationship, you never see them. We all have that friend. When
but Dawson is also that friend.
That's true.
He forgot Pacey's birthday.
That's true. They're both up. I mean, it's very easy to do. But Pacey's definitely, like, 100% focused on Andy.
Yep.
Fair enough. So, Jen is over for movie night because we always start off in Dawson's room. It's always movie night over at Dawson's smelly, crusty room. And she is reading Dawson's romance script that he was talking about in the last episode. Waiting by anxiously, wants to know what Jen thinks, and asks her. So, yeah. And she says, do you want the truth? The truth, or do you want the truth that you want to hear?
Yeah, it's not great. She thinks that it's quote unquote fluff and that it comes from a naive point of view. And I, you know what? I love Jen in this moment. I think it's easier to lie and say, oh, it's great, and give him no notes. I think it's much harder to take the path she takes and be honest with how she feels. She says it lacks oomph, anger, and edge. Dawson says, and I quote, he is raw and dark. Literally, couldn't be further from the truth. Dawson, seriously though? Like, come on now. Like, basically, she accuses him of, like, how are you going to write about teenagers if you never experienced being a teenager? Because he lives in this world where, like, he has the mental, it's weird. He has, like, the mental viewpoints of an adult, but the emotions of, like, a teenager.
Well, that's, like, kind of what he was struggling with in this episode. He says that, you know, he has, like, the intellect of an adult. He, you know, speaks in soliloquies. However, he is emotionally stunted because, ultimately, he's a teenager. You know, but that's his problem. Like, you know, his brain is like, you know, you gotta act like adults, you have to be composed, but his heart is like, I'm 15 and I don't have my life figured out and I don't understand the world and I don't get what's happening from my day to day life. Right. Everybody's really confusing.
Right. So we have this entire episode is Jen teaching Dawson how to be a teenager. Let's go through some of her teenage lessons here. God. She starts off with wanting him to cut class. Mm-hmm. He says he can't. He has a quiz in history. I love that she just, like, he's like, okay, great. And she's like, okay, great. She leaves and he goes back into class.
I know. That fake out was really, really good. You know, you gotta be impulsive, Dawson. You gotta be impulsive.
It's like, how is cutting class a part of being a teenager? I'm sorry. I feel like I had a fine teenage life experience. I never cut class.
I never cut class except for senior cut day. But everybody,
I mean, it's
class.
Like a rite of passage, so that's fine.
So, so we go back to the Urban Decay boutique. Yes. I don't understand why they even let teenagers in this place. Like, if I was the shop owner, I would be like, no, you know, anybody under the age of 21, not allowed in here. Nope,
the thing
is
they wouldn't be able to sell any of their products probably in that case. But realistically, I feel like this boutique is so small. And if you try to, I mean, we straight up saw Abby just picking things up willy-nilly, like arms flying in the air, shoplifting.
Right.
And no one saw her. I'm like, they must purposely not be looking because the shop is so tiny. How would you not see
And they were
shoplift?
Speaking so loudly. Like, how would you not hear? So Jen wants to be Dawson's regression sponsor. I've never heard of such a thing.
She made it up, that's why.
I don't know if I think I need the opposite of a regression sponsor.
A maturity sponsor.
I need a maturity. Well, I need a financial advisor. That's what I need.
You can find people that can do that for you.
That exists.
Yes. And my favorite, so I have my sassy saying. My favorite like moment for Jed and Dawson this episode is her talking about his quote unquote symbolic candy bar. And my favorite is when Dawson says, "Why is my symbolic candy bar crimson passion lipstick?"
She's like, "Well, you know, I have to get something out of this deal too."
Mm-hmm. I smart on her.
Yeah, I enjoyed the moment where he actually said, "But I'm a teenager, okay?" Mm-hmm. "But I am a teenager, okay?" So if anybody like doesn't even know what we're talking about, in the first episode, we were very tickled when Dawson exclaimed, "I'm a teenager."
It's so funny. It's a classic. It will always be around for us now. Just so, like the, "I conclude that your conclusion sucks."
Yeah. So if anybody didn't hear our first episode, that's why we're like, so like, we think it's so funny because it is
ridiculous.
So yeah. So she's like, "You gotta steal this lipstick if you want to be dark and edgy." So he's like, at first he says no, but then he's like, "Fine." And then once again, huge fake out. Ashton Kutcher in the making. You got punked. I did not steal the lipstick. But she gets like very mad and disappointed that he didn't steal the lipstick.
This is ridiculous. The only things that she's picking, let me tell you, there are a million ways people act like teenagers, right? Like there's a million things you could do. There's always like a teenage hangout place to go to, right? Like there's always things you could do. Skinny dipping, I think, was a good one. That makes sense to me as a teenage thing to do without it like really crossing the line into like breaking the law. I don't know why she gets so pissed off at him. She's just like, "It's important that you experience the rush. You're going to wake up one morning and realize you're not growing because you never allowed for the process." It's like, okay, Jen. She might as well have added on, "I'm from New York," on like the end of every sentence she says. I'm New York and I'm edgy.
She just really wants the lipstick. Mm-hmm. I just think this whole thing of like, Dawson's like an alien from Mars and she's like, "Let me teach you how to be a human teenager." And this is what we're going to do. It's like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So then after he finds out that his parents are getting divorced, he goes back to Jen and he's like, "You know, you were right. Like I have like, you know, a perception disorder. I am emotionally much younger than I am. And, you know, it's always in conflict with my self-aware brain." And he's like, "I just want to like grow up so that my feelings can catch up to myself. But like, I need to take action," because his dad was telling him about, you know, taking different actions. Right. So he was inspired.
Right. And here's the thing. This entire scene. So this is the scene where they're in Jen's bedroom and like Dawson is like ranting and raving to her. Right. I don't know. Jen was very touchy-feely with him. Like, she was, like, rubbing his shoulders, like, combing her fingers through his hair.
Yep.
Like, not for nothing. I don't do that with just friends. Like, it was a bit strange, I think. So it was even more surprising later when, like, she kind of rejects him. Because I don't know when we ended up in this territory. For, like, the beginning couple of episodes, it was Jen's only focus was getting back together with Dawson, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then when did that change?
When he rejected her and she felt really embarrassed. And but then like, so, and then she got distracted by Chris.
Right.
And now
creepy Todd.
And now she just wants to be friends with Dawson. But then again, she spent most of the episode like being really confusing. I'm sorry. Like, I am team Dawson. Like, Dawson's life is so fucking confusing.
No, he gets mixed signals from, like, every woman in his life.
Everybody.
You can't really blame him for being confused. No. And, like, here's the thing. Jen has every right to not want to be with Dawson and not want to kiss him, or right? Like, consent is important. She doesn't have to do any of those things. But I will say, she is definitely sending mixed signals to him. It felt like she was very flirty. She's combing his hair with her fingers. She's rubbing his shoulders. When they TP the house, which I also thought was a very fun, like, teenagery activity that won't get you into too much trouble. Then she wants him to go skinny dipping. She, like, even puts her bra, like, on his shoulder and jumps in the water naked. She talks, "Dawson, is that a tree branch or are you happy to see me?"
You don't talk about somebody's, like dick and go skinny dipping if you're not like being saucy, right?
So at least somewhat interested. It was just, and here's the thing, she says no, and I think she said it in like a pretty respectful way, right? Like I feel like she turned him down in the most respectful way possible. Mm-hmm. But I do agree completely with you that like it's mixed signal city. Yeah. Up in this bitch, especially with Joey and Jen, and yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah, and the mood was like right. Like I don't blame Dawson at all for trying to kiss her. Like they were, you know, it was nighttime, the moon was out, they're in the water splashing each other. Yeah. And like he kisses her and she's like, that crossed the line, Dawson. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. She says, and he says, oh, I thought you wanted this. Totally fair.
Because 3 creek weeks ago, she did.
Yeah, exactly. It hasn't even been that long. No. And Jen says, oh, well, we're finally friends now. I don't want to mess that up.
All right.
Whatever. Here's the thing. Here's the other thing mm-hmm. that we should just briefly mention. This must be fucking freezing. This is supposed to take place in Massachusetts. Mm. It's not fucking summertime right now. That is a cold ass fucking body of water.
Yeah, it was not a stick. It was really just like a thorn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That shit shriveled up real tiny because it was fucking cold, I guarantee
you. Yeah. So back to Splish Splashin'. Sure. They like bounce back pretty quick. Good for them.
Right.
So later on, after he talks to his mom about the divorce papers, he goes back to Jen's house, tells her about the divorce. He's like, I'm like really struggling over here. He was like, I knew it was over. Like all the signs were there. I was just hoping that they're going to like work it out, essentially. Right. So he's debating like, should I be like a self-aware adult and just like, you know, take this for what it is with stride, or should I allow myself to like be in the feels?
Right. Yeah, what should win, my head or my heart? And basically Jen is like, what always wins out? Like we all know he's gonna be upset. Yeah. And like, to be honest, obviously he has every right to be upset. This is huge news for his life. His parents are getting divorced, and he obviously was blindsided because he was under the assumption that they were reconnecting and kind of, you know, gonna eventually get back together.
Right. Yeah. So we end this, this, you know, I think even, was it this episode?
I think the whole episode ends.
Yeah. So it ends with him crying in her arms, and he thanks her for being there, and she thanks him for letting her in and letting her be there for him. And I thought this was a nice ending. I thought that was, you know, like a really sweet of them. I do like this aspect of Jen and Dawson. I just wish that Jen would be a little less confusing towards Dawson. Yeah. Because Dawson is a baby, and how are we like his little brain just can't compute. It's just too confusing. Yeah. For him.
It is. It's like, and not for nothing, but when he's already going through his parents getting a divorce, and he just had the recent breakup with Joey, and then he was just kissed by Jen a few creek weeks ago, and now all of a sudden she's not interested. Like, his brain must be, like, running. And he got cheated on. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things happening that I honestly cannot believe the 180 that we have done on Dawson since season one.
Yeah, the Dawson's Creek PR department was working double time with Mr. Dawson Leary. Like, we gotta make sure that we get people to like him this season. And I do. I'm being tricked. They got me.
Yeah. You know, we'll see how long it lasts. Who knows? We might need him next right week. Right up. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. He's going up in the rankings, though.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely. Okay, so maybe we should just get like Joey and Andy's little scene out of the way, because their major scenes together are like the debate situation.
Yeah. Yes.
So basically, Andy had an epiphany that Joey should be her running mate for student council elections. Andy wants to be president. She wants Joey to run with her as her vice president. And this is where, and it's awful when you think about it now, that Andy is like, oh, your family history is ancient history. It's like, it's such old news, you know how, and she is exactly saying what we have said, that like, it's like, just wait until the next piece of drama hits the streets, the creek streets, and it won't matter anymore, that, you know, your dad's in jail and blah, 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 blah. Right. Joey disagrees, but eventually does sign on. And I'm happy that we at least had one scene with Joey and Andy, just them two alone, because I want to see more of their dynamic.
Yeah. So far, what I've been taking is that, like, you know, Joey is so, like, she's, like monotone, I guess. Like, she's very, like, not, like...
Even-keeled.
Even-keeled. Like. And, like, Andy's just, like, buzzing around her. It's like, you know, Andy's a sorority girl and, like, Joey's, like, in a punk rock band, you know? Like, they're, like... Two different vibes.
Can I tell you what I was thinking when you said the sorority girl punk rock? I'm thinking Joey's a sloth and Andy's a hummingbird. That just shows where our minds go.
Sure. Sloth and hummingbird. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, she's just like, bop, 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 bop. And like, Joey's like, okay. Like you know, if I was with somebody that was like, bop, 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 like that, I'd be like, okay, it's a lot to take in. Like, I think, like, maybe she finds Andy, like, humorous. Like, I love, like, people that are, like, crazy and, like, manic and, like, you know, I like being around that energy sometimes because I'm just, like, fascinated that they're, like, so all over the place and, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like a show, you know? And I think that, like, if anything, Joey might be able to be, like, amused by, like, Andy's crazy energy.
I think it's also just very early for Joey to be handling this. I think it's, like, 9 a.m., and that's a bit early for Epiphany.
Well, she's been up since 5, you know, handling baby Alex, going to the ice house and cleaning up the tables.
Exactly. Like, so Joey's kind of like, listen, my life is fucking rough enough without you coming in here with your, like, all around my head at, like, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
But I do think that they would make an interesting, like, friend pairing, because I think they're such opposites.
I think that Andy's not going to let Joey not be her friend. You know what I mean?
Andy is very persistent.
Yeah, 100%. She's like, you are my friend, if you know it or not. Like, it's happening. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to leave you alone, especially since she's interested in Jack.
Yeah.
Like, yep, now there's, like, an extra layer. But, yeah, good for Joey being in the top 3% of the class.
Absolutely. Yeah, we knew she was really smart. We knew she had her sights set on somewhere other than the creek. It only makes sense that she would approach Joey with this pitch. Okay, so next, let's talk about Andy and Pacey. I love how Andy just gets anybody to do whatever she wants at all times. Oh, yeah. She's a boss bitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she is basically, like, Chris and Abby are going to be, you know, they're running for president, vice president, Chris being the president, Abby being the vice president. And they're passing out flyers. And, of course, they're being, like, snarky AF. And Andy's like, you know what? Like, we don't have to, you know, take this crap from them. Like, I think that I want to run. And, you know, Pacey's a little like, why do you want to do that? And, like, it's all part of Andy's master plan. Like, it looks great on college applications, and Pacey can be her campaign manager. And that is how they'll spend time together, because Pacey's very concerned about not being able to spend time with Andy. This is a big distraction for little Andy.
Yes, 100%. And I love this. I love her getting him to sign on immediately. Like, she doesn't even give him an option. I just think that's, like, the best. She's just like, oh, and you're going to be my campaign manager. And he's like, okay, like, I guess if I get to spend time with you, then that's what I'm going to do.
And I love how, like, he gets, like, super into it, too, you know?
Oh, that was my favorite. I think Pacey in this episode, like, this is prime Pacey stuff right here. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Because first, let's bounce to Joey and Jack, because we need to get Joey on board with
because she's, like, still campaign. Saying a big no at this time.
Right. And so we have Jack and Joey. They're playing with these, like, creamers, like, stacking them in a competition.
I always do that at the diner. Cute. I always do that.
yeah, I feel like it totally makes sense to do something like this, especially when you're bored and there's like no one in your restaurant.
Yeah.
So it's very obvious that Jack is avoiding talking about his family. Like, Joey keeps asking questions and he repeatedly changes the subject every single time. And this is where we get the line that you said at the beginning of the episode. She's like, whenever it gets deep, you get weird and vague. And he says, because I'm aloof, unsociable, and introverted. Which, I mean,
so attractive.
Here's the thing, though. That's a very good excuse because it could be that. We know it's not. I mean, it could be both of those things, I guess. But we know the reason that he's avoiding talking about things is because of his mom.
Do you want to hear something so funny?
Mm-hmm.
Joey is aloof, introverted, and unsociable.
Yeah.
And she's three, so secretive.
Yeah. Like, she also keeps her cards very close to the vest.
So it's like anything that like she's getting annoyed with Jack about, she is that.
Well, that's the other thing too, right? Jack is like very much like, oh, you're the girl next door, you should run. And Joey's like, I'm not the type to get into school activities. Jack, I remember when your sister had to drag you to a school dance. Mm-hmm. Who are you to tell Joey that she should be into school politics?
Yeah, they have a lot in common, actually.
They do.
So Abby and Chris come in, and Abby is already rude to, like, Joey, and she, like, demands the menu, and she says they chose that place because they have to strategize in private, and she knows that you can always count on the Ice House to be deserted.
Yes, and this is when they get into this whole argument because Abby overhears Joey talking about the election and all of that. And she just says some really nasty things. Like, she's like, oh, you're a born loser. You throw the trash out, not voted in. And if I could have nominated a sassy saying as a physical activity, it would have been Joey dumping that that pitcher of water over Abby's
head. Classic thing. A classic.
I loved it. It's actually, yeah. I feel like, a little bit different because I feel like normally you get the glass of water chucked in someone's face. Mm-hmm. You don't often get the pitcher dumped over the head. That
the
was
pitcher
great.
Is a, like six glasses of water. That's
it was
a
so
lot
much
of water.
That bitch was drenched.
Yeah, who was more soaked? Abby when she got the pitcher dumped on her, Mitch when the dishwasher exploded on him, or Dawson when he went skinny dipping. Everybody was wet in this
Everybody
episode.
Everybody was wet this episode.
Yeah. What I mean. Theme? Jen said that she was naked and wet, so how
there
about that? How
Everybody's
about that?
Wet this episode. And this is when Joey signs on. She is now fully in on the campaign.
Yep.
And I absolutely love, this is when we get Andy and PC again, and Andy's like, okay, you need to hang these posters up. PC has been reading a Clinton book, which again, like, I feel like it's enough that he is willing to help. And that the fact that he's going, like, the extra mile to actually read and strategize and help Andy and, like, take it seriously, I feel like is just, like, a really, really nice mm-hmm. change of pace from how we've seen him act in the past.
Right, yeah. And this is Clinton was still president at this time, so.
Yep, yep. And they're, like, they're flirting. PC says her sincerity is sexy. And she says
they're so cute.
Yeah, she says something like, oh, I find you sexy in your sincerity. I don't know what the hell she says, but it was cute. And this is when, right, so this is when Joey comes in. And did you see what Joey was looking at? Because she's saying, like, oh, they're running a dirty campaign.
Yeah, like, smear campaign. I think it was a poster. I think that I didn't see what the poster said. I did read a different poster, but it didn't say anything against Joey or Andy. It said, like, you know, vote for Chris and Abby, the one option, the only option.
There were, like, posters all over the school in this episode. Yeah, but I didn't see it either. But apparently they said something nasty about Joey, which surprises nobody. Joey knew this was going to happen.
Right, which is the main reason why she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to be that much in the public eye, especially with her past, with her dad and her family. So she didn't want it to get brought up. She wanted to be, like, low profile. So she's, like, pretty upset about this. But Andy's like, you know, like, it doesn't matter what they say. It's just words. Because right. she's like, I don't want to fight. Like, I don't want to play dirty. I don't want to fight back. Even though Joey wants to, like, do
like revenge. Stand up for herself.
Yes, you know, yeah. for herself. And, like, Pacey ran the book. He's like, oh, yeah, I know, like, all about, like, mudslinging shit. And it's like, no. We're going to play. We're going to play mm-hmm. clean. So they, she said, Andy says, winning is their best revenge.
Yeah, and I feel like Andy, here's the thing. I feel like Andy needs to trust Pacey and Joey on this front because she truly doesn't know what, not saying they should run a smear campaign. I'm saying that, like, I don't think Andy was ready for what was going to happen because she doesn't know how volatile Abby is.
Oh, I mean, if you're, I mean, I would not run against Abby, that's Mm-mm. for sure.
Especially not if you're someone like Andy who has a past she's trying to hide. And I'm not saying run and hide from Abby. I'm just saying, like, this did a ton of harm to Andy mentally.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mm-hmm. So we're now at the debate, and we have like a montage of them going back and forth. We have Abby. Here's the thing. They should have shut this shit down. Like the minute that Abby says Little Miss Perky and the convict's daughter, get take that
where,
mic away from her.
What that freaking teacher is useless. Absolutely uh-huh. useless. So Abby and Chris's platform are like, we're one of you, you know, like,
right.
You know, who do you want running your class? You know, just one of the guys, you know,
right.
Chris is like, I've partied with every one of you, blah, blah, blah. Kenny, we've met Kenny before. Everyone's really mean to Kenny, but
yes.
Kenny's platform, I don't even know. He's like, he's very pro Walkman in study hall. That's his main
platform.
Yeah.
Pro Walkman in study hall.
He's like, it's good.
But I think that, like, the vibe that we at least get is that he's not popular. Because yeah. that was what everybody was saying is, like, oh, Abby and Chris are guaranteed to win because Ken – is it Kyle or is it Kenny?
Kenny.
Okay. But Kenny is not popular.
A nerd.
So he's a nerd. He's not going to win. He does, I believe, come back. Like, his face looks very familiar. We've at least seen him around before.
He was in the episode where they had that project.
Abby. Yes.
They had that project with the model family.
And Abby was so mean to him. Yes. So we'll see him again, I'm pretty sure. So, like, nobody is stepping in, though. And Abby just says, oh, my God, some brutal things. She says, Andy's mom is one shock treatment away from a permanent residence in the loony bin. Like, how is she still allowed up on stage at that point?
I honestly don't know. So, yeah, like, she... reveal, and then like Joey is like, let's, like, for one, stick to the issues. Andy's personal life has no bearing on her ability to handle the job as sophomore class president.
Right.
And then Abby goes, whatever. We have hard evidence that Andy's mother was responsible for the death of Andy's older brother in a car crash less than a year ago. So the fact of the matter is that Mommy McPhee is a whacked out nut. And we all know that mental illness is hereditary. So you do the math.
I hated this
fuck. Yeah, I freaked out. I honestly did. I was beside myself.
I'm pretty sure you tweeted, like, we cancel Abby here. This is not a pro Abby podcast.
Yeah. So as you guys know, I've been very, like, pro Abby because I typically find her hilarious. And I do like a sassy character because,
well, she creates drama and chaos and it's fun to watch. But this is not chaos.
So I said, as of 9:58 p.m. on May 28th, 2001, we revoke our stance on being a pro Abby Morgan podcast. So I'm done, guys. I'm done. This has crossed the line as a la Jen. I don't like it. This was so hurtful. And I guess I should have expected this because it's Abby and she's ruthless and she's chaotic.
And we've seen her be this way with Jen before and she likes Jen. So good God, what is she going to do to the people she doesn't like, right?
But how did they find out this information?
I mean, it's Dawson's Creek. It's a small town. I don't know.
But
she must have her sources.
She has her sources. She probably hired a private detective with her monthly allowance.
Yeah.
So now the teacher interrupts. Like, where have you been, dude? Sleeping? Like, God, what the fuck?
And this is the worst thing, right? Is that during this, it's silent. And we just have to watch Andy stand there. And there's, like, a single tear that comes down her face. I wish somebody had said literally anything. Like, it's not on Joey, but I almost wish Joey was like, okay, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
No, honestly, I thought the same thing when I was watching it. I wanted Joey to, like, stick up for Andy a little bit more. And I don't know why Joey didn't do more.
I don't know. I mean, you can say that, like, right, like, anybody in the audience could have said something, but they're not the ones who are in front of a microphone. I don't know. Here's the thing. If it's in the... I guess this is a different situation because Joey and Andy really aren't friends, but we know Joey to be like a pretty moral person, I'd say. So, like, even if it was somebody I didn't know very well, but like that happened to them and I'm sitting up there in front of a microphone, I'm saying something.
So, like, I'm thinking back to the episode with the all-nighter where Chris was blabbing about Pacey's past, and at least Jen was like, shut up, Chris, like, stop it. But, okay, but then the other thing is that, like, Joey literally did not know this. Like, nobody knew this except for Pacey's.
I guess she's just shocked, right?
But I guess so. But, no, I wish that she said something. I wish that she did besides, like, you know, her being very, like, corporate with her being like, let's stick to the issues. Like, I wanted her to, like, fight back for Andy. I wish that she did.
Especially because we know, okay, even though Joey and Andy aren't close, we know Joey does not like Abby. So at the very least, you think that she would say something because she really dislikes Abby.
Yeah. So I wish my girl Joey would have done a little bit more in that situation. I totally agree. Abby's like, hey, I just want to ascertain the truth for my safety of my fellow students.
Ugh, what a bitch.
Yeah, she's a bitch. Andy can't speak. She's crying. Everyone's looking at her. She runs off. Pacey goes after her.
And this is when he finds her in the girls' room. Again, very cute. He knows she's in there. She's like perched up on a toilet. He's like, listen, I read all about this in my book. Don't you worry. We'll handle it. Very cute. And we get a very interesting scene because I think, like, you have a feeling that it's going one way, right? Like, they're talking about, oh, it's exactly 60 feet, 6 inches from pitching mound to home plate. Her brother taught her that. Like, she's worried that everybody's going to laugh at her. He says, oh, I love this quote. Everyone comes from a dysfunctional family. It's the 90s.
Yeah, that should be our tagline.
Yes. And then we have, like, politics used to mean something. And I just wrote, girl, like, if you only knew. It gets worse.
She starts getting, like, a little rambly, right?
She does. She basically, like, goes on and on about how she wants to be normal. That's all she ever wanted. Balance and order. Order and balance. And, like, she seems to be calming down, though, right? Like, Pacey seems to be calming her down. up until she like sees herself in the mirror and she just goes like, oh, I'm a mess. I hate this. I'm a mess. I really hate this. And she throws the Clinton book and it shatters the mirror.
I loved this. I was like, oh, I just love the dramatic moments. Yeah. I really do. So, you know, we start seeing like a picture painted of Andy being a little manic. And I'm really trying to think about our past like scenes with Andy in previous right. episodes. Like we've always seen Andy being like a little high strung, like she's a little neurotic. Absolutely. She's a little like a fast talker. And like I never perceived it as like this is some sort of personality disorder of sorts. I saw right. it as like this is just Andy. Like she's a, you know, a type A energetic, effervescent type of person. But this episode is teaching us like, you know, there is some sort of like it's past right. the point of like I'm sad because my, you know, my brother passed away and my dad's missing. This episode right. is trying to tell us that there's something else wrong with Andy. And
right. There was something else there in the past. And we get an even deeper look into yeah. it when we get Andy and Jack together.
Right.
Which we don't often get. It's yeah. very rare that we see just the two of them in a scene.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about shall we talk about that then? Or do you want
to? I think we should because okay. The timeline does follow that. And I think it makes sense to go there first because it would make more sense with the ending, the way it ends.
Yeah.
So we see this is later on in the day. Andy is in the rocking chair in her room. And we see Jack come in. And he is basically saying, you know, it scares me to see you so upset. We all do what we have to do to hold it together, to cope. And he... You can tell by the way he's talking to her that this is a conversation they've had before, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that is, like, a repetitive thing. Because he says, your highs and lows are becoming really intense lately. And he wants her to go back on her meds.
Right.
So this is something, like, she's taken in the past. She's taken yeah. meds in the past. We don't know what the meds are. Mm-hmm. But we know that they have something to do with her, quote-unquote, highs and lows.
I just, like... I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like this is the best representation of showing that, like, Andy has, quote unquote, highs and lows. Because this day that Andy had would make anybody, like, yeah. really upset and want to be alone and act out a little. Even if they didn't have, quote unquote, highs and lows, whatever, you know.
Right, we don't have, like, a diagnosis yeah. or anything well, yet. So yeah. I feel like just to put it all out there, it's not like the show has diagnosed her with anything. So obviously right. we're being very careful with how we
were. So we'll just call it highs and lows.
Yeah.
There's, like, you know, this is not great evidence for me to believe that Andy needs medication for, like, for this. It's like I just said, this is awful. Like, this secret got revealed in school in front of the entire sophomore class.
Yeah.
She's embarrassed. She's shocked. She feels attacked. And, you know, like, this is, you know, very upsetting. And yeah. I just,
it just makes me think that, like, there must be other things happening at home that, like, we haven't seen. And that's why Jack, because uh-huh. Jack is her brother and he's supposedly around her a lot, although we haven't seen it much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he, like, recognizes the signs before it's to the point where, like you're saying, like, this type of stuff that has happened to Andy would make anybody get very upset. But I think maybe he knows her well enough to know, okay, normally her version of upset is not throwing a book at a mirror and instead, like, curling up in a ball and crying under the covers or something.
Right.
And so he sees that, and obviously he wasn't there for that incident.
I gotta tell ya, sometimes when I'm really mad, I throw shit. One time, I threw a tissue box at a wall and it scuffed the wall.
I mean, it's better than the thing that drives me crazy is when people throw their phones, because it's like you might as well just chuck a computer out a window. Like, that's so expensive, you idiot.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. She's like, you know, one second you're laughing, next you're crying. It's like life is freaking hard for Andy McPhee. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm just being an Andy apologist. Maybe I'm not opening up my eyes to past clues.
Yeah. But well, like, here's the thing, too. I think that, like, it all depends. Like, I think mental health, like, and like the representation of mental health has also changed a lot as well. And so it could just be like, this is a very like stereotypical image of potentially a mental health problem, right? Mm-hmm. Or a disorder, or however you want to word it. Or an illness, I guess. Maybe that's just, this is the 90s version of a representation of that. I'm very curious to see. I mean, obviously I know where things go, but I'm curious to see how they progress with all of this going forward with Andy. Because this is, like you said, it's one incident, right? We've seen her be high strung. We have not seen her get to the point where she's throwing things up until now.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, next day is the final speeches in the audio room. And I guess they have to, like, broadcast it. And, you know, Abby and Chris are first, and they're like, do you really want these losers running the school? And yada yada yada. Andy is there, and Joey's like, you know, we could always walk out. There's no harm in, you know, quitting, right, or whatever. And Andy's like, no, I'm fine, I can do it. So then it's Andy and Joey's turn. Abby's still being a snarky bitch. Andy goes up to the microphone and she freezes and she can't do it. So yeah, she runs leaves. Out.
Yeah. And we have like we have Chris and Abby. Chris is going to go celebrate. I'm going to go kiss some babes. And she's like, it's babies, you idiot. I thought that was kind of funny. But we get Pacey. I love Pacey's trickery here. He basically asks why she's slumming it as VP when everybody knows she's the brains behind the operation. And he does this when he's pressing the microphone so it's on. So everybody hears Abby talking about using that walking penis for his popularity. Victory's so much sweeter when you stomp on people to get there. Love this from Pacey.
Yeah. I'm going to rule this school and all you have and all those other half-wits are too stupid to stop me. Okay, Abby.
Yeah. All right, Abby. A little big for your britches there. But then Pacey congratulates, what is his name?
Kenny.
I can't ever remember it.
Come on, Kenny. I know, it starts with a
K. He congratulates him because he knows that he's going to win now because Abby's being a complete asshole.
Yeah. So we also get a Joey and Jack moment.
Yep.
In all of this. Because, you know, after the debates, Joey goes up to Jack and apologizes for poking around the other day. And she's like, if I knew about your family, like, I wouldn't have been asking all these questions. And
right, he's how like, is she to know, really?
How is she to know? And he's like, I'm looking for Andy. I'm not your sympathy. Yeah. So
he's like a little bit much here, in my opinion. Yeah. He's in his, like, here's the thing. He's in his feels right now. He's going through something. Joey is like trying, like actively really trying to like push herself, insert herself in Jack's life. And he's just like, nope, this is a family issue. I don't need you.
Yeah. Not feeling him, to be honest with you. He's like, my family's complicated. I'm not comfortable talking about it. But
it's like, have you met Joey? So is hers.
Exactly. She's like, Jack, don't push me away. I want to help.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jack. Didn't you know that this is the 90s and every family is dysfunctional?
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to talk to you. And he yells at her. So big jerk. Not feeling Jack this episode. He can go away.
I mean, he does eventually apologize. So later on, he shows up and offers to walk Joey home. He apologized for acting like an ass. And you know what? Here's the thing. I do understand partially where he's coming from. He says, you know, my sister and my mom count on me to be the rock. I feel like he suffers from a few different things, right? He is quote unquote, and I know this is stupid and antiquated and obsolete and dumb, but he's quote unquote like the man of the house, right? His brother is dead. His dad isn't around. He's supposed to be that masculine figure of the household. So in my opinion, right, he's not supposed to show emotions. That's how, that's not my opinion, but that is how I think he thinks.
You know what I think? Society,
what?
I think that your conclusion, I conclude that your conclusion sucks.
You don't, you disagree? Don't you think that he gets the societal pressure of like having to not show emotions and be strong for everybody else?
No, I think that that's probably how he feels. But I also think that Andy thinks that she is in control of the entire family.
Oh, no. Andy, in my opinion, Andy deals with more than Jack in that she handles more of the day-to-day in their household.
Yeah. But in Jack's mind, he's like, pressure of it. In Jack's mind, he's like, well, I have to take care of my mom and my sister. And Andy's like, well, I have to take care of my mom and the household because Jack's not dealing with his feelings. So it's like some conflicting issues, some conflicting opinions over here.
Yeah. And I think obviously everybody can be right here. Right. Like it's completely valid for both Andy and Jack to feel the way they're feeling. And I can't, I mean, I don't envy Jack's position either. Right. Like his whole life is a secret. You know, he doesn't feel like he has anybody he can really talk to about this because I think he thinks he needs to be the unemotional person here because he has his mom who's going through all kinds of shit. He has Andy who is not only high strung and a control freak in a lot of ways, but she's also going through her own mental health problems, or at least in his mind she is. And I think Joey makes a great point here. I love this moment for Joey, even though I'm not a huge, I don't know how I feel about Joey and Jack, but I love the moment for at least what Joey says, right? Like she talks about when her mom was dying, she had a friend who was amazing. Sometimes they just sat for hours, and when it was really bad, he would just hold my hand, and that was all that she like needed.
I love how she's like, I can't say the D word. I can't say the D word. I had a quote unquote friend, and like obviously Jack's like, okay, well, Joey only has one friend in this world, and it's Dawson.
Yeah.
She's like, can't say the D word. So Dawson, so we actually get like a little bit of insight that Dawson was actually being very helpful while Joey's mom was passing away, and the fact that Dawson can be quiet is a miracle.
Right? I was thinking the same thing. Like, how did you sit for hours and not talk? How did he not say the word Spielberg like 20 times?
How did he not talk about himself? How did he not make it about him? Like,
impressive stuff.
Very impressive from Dawson.
Yeah. So and then they hold hands. And not for nothing, but this was a romantic handhold because we had fingers laced. Hands not cupped. Fingers full on lacing.
Yep. I don't know how I'm feeling about Jack and Joey. I'm getting like some ick vibes from Jack. Like he hasn't done enough in these 9 episodes for me to be like, I can get on board with Jack. His best episode was probably the episode where he first went to the art museum.
And when he like, punched Dawson. Or Dawson punched him. That was fun.
That was, I mean, I don't know.
The full moon was probably his best showing, actually.
No. I think that he just really loves the full moon, and that's his main passion in life.
That's his personality trait.
That he loves the full moon.
And watching the weather
so stupid.
I just feel like I kind of agree with you. Like, I think that the problem is, I think we love, I feel like we can both say confidently, we both love Andy at this point, right? And
I care for Andy like she's my little sister. Like, I was very upset for her this episode. I don't want to see Andy hurt. Like, she's a delicate flower to me. Mm-hmm. Like, Andy's, like, not my BFF. Like, Andy's, like, my little
Joey
sis.
Joey is your BFF.
Joey's my BFF. Andy's my little sis. Like,
Jack is like your third cousin who you like see on holidays.
Jack, he's not invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is like, I just feel like the problem is they're focusing a lot of our emotions and efforts into Andy and not Jack. So I do think, at least at this point in the show, we don't care enough about Jack because we care so much about Andy because that's the McPhee we've been focusing on.
Right.
Not so much Jack. Jack, to me, is a little milquetoast at this point. Like, he just doesn't have enough personality for me right now.
Yeah, I don't know about Jack. Like, they need to do a little bit. They need to do, where's that Dawson's Creek PR department? They got to do some double-double on Jack.
Yes, fix him up a bit.
Fix him up. So now we go back to Andy at home.
Right.
She's looking a mess, been crying. I don't even know what's going on with her. She's like going through it. Pacey calls her and she's like, I'm feeling better, as she's sobbing into the phone, feeling much better. She doesn't want to.
We've all been there though. She has like that one of those thick headbands in her hair. Like, we've all been there.
Yeah. He asks to hang out. We only hear Andy's audio, but we assume that he asks to see her. She says no. Because she just needs some alone time, but she'll be back to her old self tomorrow as she's opening up a bottle of some sort of unmarked medication.
Right.
That she takes. So she's, you know, she's taking some medication. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
We don't know. Yeah. This is a great episode.
It was an excellent episode. I really loved pretty much all of it. Have no complaint. Well, you know, I have some complaints, but I have.
But like, compared to.
No, everything's good. No, my only.
We dipped down a little bit in season two, but I feel like we jumped right back up with this episode.
Yeah, no, there's so many good episodes in season two. It's very, very exciting. I really did like this episode. So, I just, you know, I gotta just say, like, we are. You know, we had a good time with Abby. I don't want to affiliate myself with her at this moment.
Understandable.
I redact any pro Abby statements that I've made previously. Don't bring them up when I run for president one day. Don't do it.
Yes. It was a good episode, though. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Do we have any feedback to get into?
We do. Lovely. Okay. Dirtbag Kelly wrote to us. By the way, great conversation with Dirtbag Kelly on the Clubhouse, in my walk bell with me room where I walk bell. So my dog, obviously. Feel like Jen was giving off some weird vibes to Dawson this episode, but I guess that was sort of the point. I enjoy Dawson giving her the slip early in the episode to go to class. That cracked me up.
Yep.
Yeah, we love that.
Same position.
Okay, let's talk about Andy. Why does she think that Abby wouldn't bring up her family life? Like, she already swung low on Joey early in the episode, so I just don't get why Andy wouldn't sort of see it coming. Also, we get the bombshell that she's on meds. I paused to see what it was, but it was just numbers, no actual medication name.
Yeah, it doesn't actually say anything. Yeah.
Yeah, so great point. I mean, does Andy have any interaction with Abby up until this episode? I don't think so.
No, and I think she's, to be honest, I think she's a little bit too preoccupied with probably her home life stuff to really know the ins and outs of everybody in the creek. She's new. She's only hanging out with the creek creeps. So
this
she,
is what is happens when you only hang out with the creeps. Then you mess up because you don't know about all the other people. But it's like, you know, stay away.
Yeah, it happened to Jen. It happened to Andy. Just the way it is.
Abby sucked this episode, but it did have a solid burn going to the ice house for privacy. How does that place stay open? No one's ever there.
Fair for him to say. I was thinking the same thing. Why do they need two staff members there when no one ever shows up?
It is 110% a drug front. We have talked about that before. Mr. Pot
Mr. Pot
is... You know, the basement of the ice house is the pot house.
Yep.
I believe that is how it stays open. Shockingly so. That's why the lobsters are so high all the time. let the people know that gosh. I know. Good to see Kenny again. Does this mean he's class president? Walkmans in the study hall.
Yeah, we
get to bring our Walkmans into the study hall.
So ridiculous.
I had a Walkman. Not the tape kind, the CDs.
Oh, that's a CD man. That's a Discman.
Discman. So I don't know.
Walkman is the only tapes.
Yes. I don't know if I had a Walkman.
You didn't have a Walkman? I had a Walkman. I had like a Lion King tape, cassette tape for... Their cassette tapes were a thing for any of you youngins listening to the podcast.
They know. They know.
Yeah.
Great work as always, ladies. P.S. is great getting to chat on the clubhouse.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. Next up, we have Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Okay. Hey, Jess and Sarah. Firstly, I wanted to address the question from last week. Simple answer to your question is... You don't care about anyone else with Pacey. So this is my whole thing of like, how am I possibly going to give a crap about any other relationship with Pacey besides from Andy and Pacey? I have a internal struggle. I know this is not going to last forever. It is hurtful. But Linda continues... Andy is his soulmate. Nobody is there for Pacey the way Andy is. Nobody supports him the way she does. I still refuse to accept Pacey will with anybody else except for Andy. And it's been decades. So dot, dot, dot.
I don't know. I don't know that I... Here's the thing. I won't say I disagree with Linda, but I'll be interested to see if you can accept other options. I think you'll come on board. Yes.
I don't want to.
I think you'll come on board to other options. I do.
I don't like that. I don't accept that negative energy in my life, to be honest with you. I don't like it. I don't trust it. Okay. Moving along to some thoughts about the election. Again, with Mr. Milo's complete incompetence. Oh, okay. So Mr.
Milo. Oh, was he the guidance counselor?
Okay, so Mr. Milo is who they TP'd. So, and he was the moderator. So I guess maybe he was the... I didn't catch that.
I didn't recognize him, but that would make sense. And wow, he needs to be fired.
Yeah, he needs to be fired immediately if that's the case. So seriously, who hired this guy? Abby should have been stopped after the convict's daughter comment. Exactly what you said, Jessica. Instead, he just let her keep going, attacking Andy, revealing her private home life before finally stopping her. Lazy much?
Yeah.
I don't
Linda,
know.
Linda, we completely agree.
What is up with this guy?
Yeah.
Mr. Milo got what he deserved. Dawson did something good for once, TPing his house.
Yep.
So freaking funny. Pacey turning on the PA system to broadcast Abby equals chef's kiss.
Yeah.
I just did the little chef's kiss. I'm so Gen Z. I just did the little chef's kiss thing.
That's a Gen Z thing? I've done that.
I don't know. I don't know anything about anything.
Wait, which one am I? I'm not Gen Z, right? No, I'm a millennial.
No.
I don't know
girl,
how these work.
You're old. Don't
I'm
you
old
forget.
As shit. Yep.
Don't you forget. Mm-hmm. This is one of the episodes of Dawson's Creek that had the hugest impact on me. I still remember breaking down and sobbing at the scene at where Andy takes her medication. Back in the 90s, mental health wasn't really something that was talked about. My junior year of high school, I was placed in an inpatient psychiatric center for anorexia and depression. I had no idea what was wrong with me. I was placed on medication for anxiety and depression. I felt like a complete freak. The election first aired not long after I was discharged from the hospital. When I saw Andy taking her meds for mental health, I felt like the hugest weight was lifted. I wasn't alone. It was the first time I saw a popular character on TV dealing with mental illness. She was living a life and could get a guy like Pacey. Maybe there was hope for me yet. Andy McPhee is still my favorite TV character today.
Oh my gosh. That was wonderful.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Linda. I'm getting like a little emotional myself. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, that was so nice of you to share with us. I mean, that's exactly what we were talking about, how just like awareness of mental health and kind of depictions of mental health were very different back in the 90s. And Linda, I would love to hear more from you if you're comfortable sharing in the future about, you know, future depictions of Andy and how they deal with the depiction of her. Feel free to always. And of course, if you don't want it read on air, obviously let us know as well. I'm just super curious to hear your perspective on how they depict Andy going forward, especially. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I actually own a copy of the election script, which I got signed from Monica Keener when I met her. You throw the trash out, you don't vote in is one of her favorite Abby Lines fun fact. So is Monica Keena? Is
I
that
think that's Abby?
That's yeah. Abby. Abby. Very I mean, funny. Linda. I don't know who Abby is, to be honest with you. Never met her. Don't know her. Joking. I'm joking. That's really, really cool. This week, my notable 90s song is Heart and Shoulder by one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Heather Nova, which played while Joey was comforting Jack and Jen was comforting Dawson.
Yeah.
Not yeah. only was the song perfect for both of the scenes, it actually appears on the Felicity soundtrack as well. Does it get more 90s than that? Thanks for putting up with my ramblings, Linda. Linda, you are spectacular. I am so appreciative that you write into us and let us know your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. Do you know how much buzz we're getting about Felicity, Jess?
So, like, literally everybody, like, talks to us about Felicity. And the funniest thing is neither one of us have seen Felicity.
So that's something to keep in mind as a serious mm-hmm. thing to keep in mind for the future. Yeah. But once again, thank you, Linda. And thank you so much, Kelly. I so appreciate your feedback. If anybody else wants to write in, give us your thoughts about Dawson's Creek. We get so excited when we hear from you guys. You can email us at shit90spod@gmail.com.
Yes. Wonderful. Fashion hour time.
Yes.
Fashion hour. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So as always, we have the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit and the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit. The nominees for this week are Joey. And this is the outfit that she shows up to talk to Pacey and Andy about the election. The reason, honestly, like the numero uno reason I chose this outfit is this freaking hat. I don't know why. Like, this hat to me was the most 90s thing I've seen Joey wear. It is like, it's not even a bucket hat. I don't even know what to call this hat. It's a brown.
Like a little beanie, but with like a ridge.
It's a beanie, but with a ridge. And it's not like a normal beanie, I don't think. It's like very rounded. I mean, very like tight to her head. It's not loose at all. She's also wearing like a brown shirt with some dark denim jeans. And maybe it's like an olive shirt. It's kind of hard to tell. And then she has like this like older lady kind of sweater. It's almost like Southwestern vibes because it's like beige on the bottom, has a little bit of like a pattern across the front, and like a very like burnt orange.
This is like a sweater that you get in like Norway at like the little shops, the little wool shops. It's itchy. This sweater's itchy.
Oh, it looks itchy. Yeah.
I mean, I like the beanie on Joey. It's a vibe. You know that she didn't mm-hmm. wash her hair that day. She yes, didn't have
she's
time.
Like, gotta cover the greasy scalp yeah. on the hat goes. 100%.
Yeah, I know that trick. I know the trick. But it's I mean, I like it. I think that, I mean, the sweater's fine. She's wearing like some sort of like dark shirt and dark pants besides, mm-hmm. like it's a good outfit. Like the hat, I definitely know that hat. I think my mom had a purple version of that hat.
You know me, I'm like obsessed with the hat fashion, honestly. I just, I love a hat.
You love a hat moment.
I do. Mm-hmm. Next up, the bitch herself, Abby Morgan. This is, I had so many things to choose from for Abby. I almost chose the one from the PA announcement situation, but I ended up going with her debate outfit simply because, my God, this was an outfit. She is wearing like a black mini skirt with some heels. She has on a like blue sweater that has this like faux fur brownish black around the collar. Crazy vampy 90s makeup. She has like a very dark lip, like a blue eyeshadow. Those eyebrows, henny, were just recently plucked the shit out of. And she has like a very glittery makeup as well, like very glittery eyeshadow. And to top it all off, we have not the teensy tiny butterfly clips we all remember, ginormous flower clips, huge, massive blue, yeah. too, one on each side, huge flower clips.
Yeah. Miss Abby got Nelly's fashion wardrobe, oh, for God. Sure. Never forget Nelly. You think this is horrendous. I think this is fun. This is, once again, very Amber from Clueless vibes.
Oh, it's like, it's very of the times.
I mean, I love the outfit. I think it's a lot of fun. I think these clips are ridiculous. This little fur she's got going on. It honestly, it's like, this is her interpretation of like what Jackie O wears. Like, you know, she looks, she thinks she's, that she
she's
looks
like, I'm the hot shit bitch.
She, exactly. You know that she thinks that she's the it girl of the day.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. All right, and last but not least, of course, we have Andy here. I had a few different outfits to choose from for Andy. Honestly, this episode was like so many great outfits.
Truly.
To choose from.
Truly.
But I chose the debate outfit for Andy as well. So she is wearing a plaid black and gray mini skirt with black, very like opaque tights, like a chunky ass heel. Like, you remember those black platform chunky heels we all wore? They're like slip-ons. She is wearing a white button-down shirt with a pale yellow sweater, like cardigan that has embroidered flowers on it. And the main reason I was like, all right, this one is the one I have to choose, is because she has those little itty bitty heart clips that are one on each side, tucking her hair back. Mm-hmm. Just a smidge, which I feel like a lot of people did in the 90s.
Yeah, like this is very like schoolgirl, like oops, I did it again vibes, almost. I think that she looks really cute in this outfit. I mean, it's not like fashion forward or innovative, but I do like it. Typically I would give this award to Abby, but there's repercussions in this world. If you act like a see you next Tuesday, you get punished. So, and because of this, I am going to give it to Andy.
All right. Look at you. Take that, Abby Morgan.
Yeah, take that.
Moving on to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. First up, I put Jack here. This is the outfit we see him talking to. It's the outfit we see Joey running up to him in, and it's the outfit he's wearing when he's talking to Andy. He's wearing like kind of like a medium wash denim jean with a sweater that has like a light blue on the bottom, then some white and black stripes across the front, a horizontal, and then like a darker blue on the top. Very like Calvin Klein-esque, in my opinion. That's kind of like what it reminded me of.
Yes, a simple Calvin. That is so. Like this is like a good like guy outfit. We got some jeans, we got a sweater. Mm-hmm. Jack knows how to dress himself.
I thought he looked good here. I was like, all right, I can get down with this outfit. It's nice.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Next up, I mean, everybody sees this coming, right? Like, if you didn't see this coming, where have you been? It's the Zaddy Hour. We don't even need to call it the Fashion Hour. It is the Zaddy Hour. Mitch in the wet t-shirt contest. Obviously, like a Levi dark denim jean, white t-shirt, wet, covered in dishwasher fluids. This is Zaddy Mitch. What do you think?
I mean, it speaks for itself, really.
truly does.
Yeah, I mean, why does one arm have to be pulled up, one sleeve? I mean, you got, I don't, it's like I gotta show the bicep, gotta pull up that one sleeve, I mean, gotta take off the shirt, show the back muscles. It's clear. This has to be in his contract, without a doubt. Got a strip. It's craziness.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah.
Last but not least, we have Jen, and this is the outfit she is wearing when she is attempting to get Dawson to steal that crimson lipstick. She is wearing a maxi dress. It looks to be black. It could be like a navy color, a bit tough to tell. And it is like a faux wrap dress. So I feel like it does nice things for her chest, in my opinion. Like, it's very flattering. It's like a short sleeve. It's tight enough to the body without being like a complete body hugger. I really, really like this outfit. And I actually think her hair doesn't look too bad. She doesn't have a ton of clips in it. She didn't just use a curling iron on it. So I like the way, yeah. I also like her makeup as well. I think she has like a nice colored lipstick on as well. That crimson is doing it for her.
Yeah. I actually really like this outfit on Jen. It's like this really pretty, I think it's navy, a really pretty navy maxi dress. I like it. I like it a lot. I think her hair looks good too. Mm-hmm. I think that I am buying into it. I do miss her old hair, but this is a great outfit for Jen. I'm going to give it to Jen this week.
Congrats, Jen and Andy. You guys did it. We love to see the ladies sweep the fashion hour. This was a great episode for fashion, honestly. There could have been like four other nominees. Like some episodes it feels like we're struggling, but this was not one of those times. It was was great.
I absolutely agree. Loved it. Yes. Loved this episode. Loved the fashion of this episode. Mm. Loved all the shocking moments. It definitely had me reeling at times.
It's a good one.
Yeah, so many reactions. I was, you know, typing to you throughout the whole time, flipping out. I love it when I'm just like totally spiraling when I watch. I said, what did I say?
I said, well, whatever your moments were was the reason I watched it so early.
Yeah, totally. I said, Abby, you little fuck.
Yeah, that's what it
oh my god, with. She's so bad.
Yes.
I was like, she's a little bitch. This is really bad.
And then you kept like, oh my god, it got worse.
Oh yeah, Jessica got worse. Holy fuck, yes. I gasped. It was crazy.
So next episode, season 2, episode 10, High Risk Behavior.
Oh no. Which, hold on, by the way, you didn't even give me props for guessing that Andy, you know, went up for class president. I did predict that.
You did. You're getting really good with your predictions.
I thought that she was going to win, and she probably would have, but I don't know. Not this time. High risk behavior, you say. I think that Dawson, the alien from a different planet, is continuing to learn from his regression counselor how to be a teenager, and they get into some real trouble this time.
Ooh, interesting, interesting. Okay, all right. Wonderful. And then maybe in a few more episodes, we'll have you give us your updated rankings on your characters, because we're not quite at the halfway mark.
After episode 11, I guess?
Yes. Yeah, I think that works. End of episode 11 is when we'll do it. This was wonderful. I love Dawson's Creek. I can't wait to talk about it again next week. For those also listening to our Boy Meets World content, we just finished our season 2 wrap-up podcast. So we're taking a week off before we start season 3. So just an FYI, if you're looking out for that podcast, it'll be a week later than normal. What else do we have coming up, Sarah, for the month of June?
Month of June, we have two bonus podcasts scheduled right now. The first one being A Land Before Time with Lindsay Wilson. So we will be watching that and discussing. And then the second is Now and Then with Deidre from the PSR Discord, which is one of Jessica and I's favorite childhood movies. We're really excited to cover both. And who knows what comes up? You know, who knows?
You never know. We always say, oh, this is going to be an easy month. There's not going to be a ton, just the two bonus. And then we end up doing like 5 extra podcasts. You really can't predict what we're going to do. You never know.
That is true.
And if you have suggestions for anything you want us to cover, you can always tweet at us or shoot us a message on Instagram or at shit90spod. Or obviously you can always email us shit90spod@gmail.com. As always, you can also find me over on Community Building at Post Show Recaps, where I am rewatching Community with Josh Wigler. Really fun times over there. So give that a listen if that's something you're interested in.
Yay.
I think that's everything. That's all we got today.
That's all.
This was great. I can't wait to do this again next week. Every week I get more and more excited to cover Dawson's Creek. It's such a freaking wild ride. It's such a great flashback show from the 90s. Like, it's so good. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. We will talk to you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.